You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. I wonder if you listen to this episode on 2X. Sometimes I feel like it could be good, except for when I talk really fast like this, and maybe it's really fast when you're doing 2X. If I were listening to podcasts, which, well, I do, just depends on the person who's talking. I'm usually at about 1.5X. But anyway, today we're talking about how to avoid interviewing her. And I know that a lot of guys get into interview mode and it can cause a problem because it doesn't offer the most interesting conversation. But then there's times when interview mode, if that's the best thing we could call it, is actually okay. So we're going to be going over that as well. And we're just going to be teaching you here how to make sure you're not getting into very boring conversation that just question. And don't get me wrong, there are times for really great questions. I've done episodes, which you maybe have listened to, about really great questions you can ask. We won't be going over that. We're going to be talking about how to step away from that for a second if you tend to just be asking too many questions. Then we're going to do some Q&A. There's a lot of people who have written in, and I always enjoy talking to you guys and answering your questions. You can write in too. You can email me, trip@tripadvice.com. Put in the subject line podcast question, and I'll answer your question here on the podcast, like I'm going to do today for as many people as I possibly can. Now, what's really cool is something we have over here at Trip Advice is a mock date. So we do mock dates for guys who need help with what to do on dates. We have women on staff that are going to do Zoom mock dates with you if you live in specific cities, such as New York, for example, New York City. We can also set up in-person mock dates for you, but we work with people all over the world. So we know that, you know, it's not possible to necessarily, you know, go do a mock date and have to fly out to do that. It's not necessary. That's why we have Zoom mock dates. And what's cool about these is that we're going to be able to give you feedback on how you do on a date, which is very much related to what we're talking about today. So if you tend to be a person who gets into interview mode quite a bit, we're going to be able to give you feedback on that. We're going to give you feedback on a lot more than that because we're experts at knowing what you're doing right and wrong on a date so that when you finally go on more dates, you can not make any more mistakes that might be secretly turning her off. And so we are doing these when you join our coaching program. And we have options for you over at tripadvicecoaching.com. Book a call with us. We'll chat about your options and we can see if we can help you. We have all these little secret things that are just really good at getting guys results. That's why we've been able to do it for the past 13 years. We have mock dates. We even have options where you can do an approach bootcamp with us. I know I've been talking about those quite a bit lately because we launched it this year and the results have been fantastic. Every single guy so far who has joined the bootcamp has seen incredible results. So we have those options too. If you want to see the cities that we're in, maybe we're in a city near you, one that you can fly to, go to tripadvice.com/live-training. All the links I always talk about are always in the show notes. But back to what I'm saying here is we can help you with interview mode. We can make sure that you are an expert conversationalist and giving off your most attractive vibe so you can have more choice with women. That's what we do over here at Trip Advice, and we're here to help you. Now, let's get into today's material. How to talk to a girl and avoid interviewing her. Well, simply put, how do we avoid interviewing? Well, what's interviewing? Interviewing is questions. What's the opposite of a question? I would say the opposite of a question is probably a statement. A lot of guys aren't making enough statements when you're talking to a woman. Whether it's on an approach or a first date, second date, whatever it is, you're not making enough statements. In fact, I know a lot of guys who don't make enough statements even on texting. Not that I want to dive too far into texting advice, because to be honest, texting, as I've said before many times, should be only used to get a girl to meet up with you on a date. I wouldn't want you to have long conversations. But if you do text a girl and you are in a conversation with her over text and you do just throw out a statement instead of a question and you're not sitting there, you know, waiting, or I should say, You're not sitting there trying to just end everything with a question to keep it going. That can be very powerful as well. But I'm not talking about text and messaging. I'm talking about in person, okay? Making statements in person. This is a skill. This is one that I've had to work on over the years. It's one that I had to really figure out when I was first learning how to meet and attract women, because I saw myself actually just asking a lot of questions when I was in conversations with women, especially on dates. So I had to practice making more statements. And it's not the easiest thing to do, because we tend, when we get into conversation, especially with people who are a little bit nervous around, we tend to focus on what? On just asking the questions. Because we want to let them do all the work. But you know what happens when we let them do all the work? They don't get to know us. And it doesn't allow them to ask questions to us. So statements are powerful because A, they're more interesting, and B, we give them a chance to ask us a question. It's really hard in conversation to get a woman to ask us a question if we don't have anything interesting to say. Yeah, sometimes they're just going to be naturally curious and they'll ask you a question because they're going to ask you something. But what if you're in a conversation with a woman who doesn't really know you yet that well, on a date, on an approach? Can you give her some ammo, some material to go off of, i.e. a statement, to then ask you a question? And this actually builds interest because you're able to get them interested in you by asking a question, but you can only do that by making statements, okay? So how do we do this practically? How do we practice this? One way that I really like, besides, of course, going out and actually approaching women and going on dates, that's also a great way. But one thing you can do just at home whenever you want is you can practice talking and making statements. I know it sounds silly, and I know that a lot of guys listening are just going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But give this a shot, because it's pretty cool when you get to practice this, and then all of a sudden you're in person and it starts to actually work in person because of the practice you did at home. Grab a book, go online, go to word generator, one of those two options. If you have a book, point to a word. If you're online, go to word generator on the search engine. Get a generated word. So you're trying to get a random word that you can then use that word to start making statements on. And this is going to help because it does mimic the actual conversation that you might be having with someone. Because when you're talking to someone, they might say something, which is then going to get you triggered to then say something back, right? So for example, let's say you're talking to somebody and you're talking to a girl and they say to you like, yeah, last week I went to this amazing movie. Okay, that's an easy one, by the way. But okay, so what's your keyword? Probably movie. You can also even say your keyword could be amazing. That one's a little bit harder, but we'll give an example for that one too. So she says movie. So what could you say? Well, you could say a question, which is kind of boring. Oh, what movie did you see? Or what's your favorite movie? Nothing terribly wrong with that. But what if you instead said a statement? What if instead you said, okay, you know, oh, I went to a movie. The last movie I saw was this, or my favorite movie is this, or, you know, I hate going to the movies. I don't know, whatever it is that you want that relates to you. You can also go off the word amazing. You could say, speaking of amazing, I had an amazing dinner the other night. I made a blah, 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 blah. Or I went to this restaurant, they served blah, 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 blah. Tangents, statements. This is the key to more interesting conversation, and avoid interviewing her. And you can practice it, like I said, at home. If you get a random word, you can use that word to then generate more statements. Now, if we go to the more advanced level, okay, the more advanced level would be you having things that you just want to say. Now, this is one that does take a little bit more practice. I would say the better practice for something like this is going to be in actual conversations. I don't believe it's something you can really practice at home, but that's fine. You should be going out, approaching, and going on dates anyways. And that's going to be just saying things that are on your mind. So it doesn't have to be working off of a tangent. It can be a story that you want to tell. It can be something that happened recently. Maybe she's talking and she doesn't say a word that you go on a tangent off of, but it reminds you of something that you share with her. Or maybe there's something that you saw in the news. Or maybe there's something you saw on social media. We do scroll a lot on our phones and we see funny and interesting things. We learn new things. You watch YouTube, you listen to podcasts like you're listening to this one now. You can even bring up a podcast like this. Who knows? Could be funny. So what's going on in your life, in your mind? And by the way, this doesn't have to be the most interesting stuff. That's the point here I'm always trying to make with you guys is it's not about being the most interesting person in the world. Just being a good conversationalist might be someone who's just making a little bit more statements, saying some things versus trying to ask a lot of questions and let her do all the work. So how are we going to practice this? One, at home, like I mentioned, practicing making statements based on words. You're going to be going out talking to women, thinking of things to say. I would say the theory or maybe the technique, so to speak, behind that is unfiltering yourself. Stop filtering yourself. Stop saying to yourself, oh, I shouldn't talk about that, or oh, I don't want to talk about that, or oh, I don't know, this might offend. Just talk. Just talk. Just say what's on your mind, something that you're thinking about. Obviously, you know, keep it normal. You're probably thinking about how, you know, the woman across from you is cute and you're interested in her and whatever it may be. But I just mean things about your life or things outside of your life. Unfilter yourself. You know, the most charismatic people in the world are really good at knowing when to filter and when not to filter. And I'd say a lot of charismatic people have less of a filter because think about it, charismatic person, they're more talkative, they're opening themselves up, they're talking about different topics and stories and different things where maybe a guy who's a little bit more reserved, keeping to himself, not talking a lot, that's just not going to work out in his favor. And I don't want any excuses from you guys. I get a lot of people saying, Trip, sounds easy enough, but I'm not extroverted. I'm an introvert. So doing things like this is really hard for me. No. You're not understanding what an introvert and an extrovert is. Extroverts only have an easier time socializing, not because extroverts aren't shy. It's because they feed off the energy of other people and they don't get tired when they're socializing. Introverts just get a little bit more tired. But if you're a person who's just not good at this, it's not because you're an introvert. It's because you don't have the practice and you don't have, I mean, that's it. You just don't have the practice and you're still working through your shyness, which you can fix. I would say I'm like an ambivert. I'm a mixture of extrovert and introvert. I can be a little bit of both. It depends on the day. So it goes back and forth for me. But being that I am an ambivert, I'm still a person who used to be very shy. So this was tough for me. And I had to learn how to do this and practice it a lot. Okay. Now let's talk about questions for a second. I know we're talking about statements and avoiding interviewing. But when you do ask a question, I just wanted to give you this tip for today. When you do ask a question, you want to ask questions that you actually care about, that you actually give a shit about. Don't just ask questions to ask questions. There will be an exception coming up here real soon, but ask a question that's interesting to you. Remember I talked about that charismatic fellow? Well, that guy who's unfiltered is going to ask the questions that he wants. He's going to be curious about people. And that is really, if I could install a trait, that would be the trait I would install into most guys. It would be for you to be more curious because it's going to be better for asking questions, interesting questions, getting to know somebody. So start here. What do you actually want to learn about a woman? What is it? Beyond her work and maybe beyond what she likes to do on the weekends, what do you want to learn about her? What is there about her that you are interested in that is something that you are looking for in a woman? Those are the better questions to be asking. I've done some episodes on this. It probably calls for one. I should probably do that, a one about that more specifically soon. But just think about that a little bit. What is it that you want to learn about her? Because then when you ask that question and she starts talking about it, you're going to be able to make more statements based on what she says because you're actually interested in what it is that you're asking her. That's the powerful thing. Now let's talk about something I call draining a topic. Draining a topic, okay? So when you're talking to a woman, I would not say this is going to be for a cold approach, but for a date. It's okay to drain a topic for a little bit where you're on one topic and you're talking about that. The reason why that can be really powerful is because it's going to allow a conversation that's not filled with interview type questions. When you're going off on one topic, so you're on tangent, but you're on, or you're off tangent, I should say, and then you get on one topic and you guys are just talking about it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That is going to allow this real present moment. I like to call that conversation flow. You know the idea of being in flow. When you're doing something and you're so present, you're not thinking about it, you're in flow. Maybe you get into flow at work. Maybe you're playing a game. Maybe you're hanging out with a friend. You're not thinking about anything else but the moment in front of you. That's conversation flow, when you can just talk, 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 and you're going on this, you know, one topic kind of thing. Now, of course, I want to be careful when I say that. Don't force that. Only let that happen if it happens. You know, you don't want to sit there and just talk about one topic or force it because it just happens to be something you heard here in a podcast. Let it happen. Let it conversation flow to a point where you're like, oh yeah, I want to keep talking about this. And then boom, 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 you're talking about that. And it's great. Just don't do it to the point where, you know, you're doing it for, I don't know, you know, a full hour. The reason is because you do want to still get to know a person. You still want to be on a date with a woman and get to know all different aspects, and she gets to know all different aspects of you. You don't want her coming away from that going, oh yeah, it was a great day. We talked about canoeing the whole time, or kayaking, or whatever it might be. Again, it's okay if that takes a nice large chunk, but still be careful. So not to confuse you, I know I kind of just said two different things here. Let me just summarize that. It is great to go and drain a topic and really go thorough into one. And it's okay if it happens, and let it happen as a way to help with the interviewing or lack of interviewing process that you're trying to avoid. But just don't do it for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. You know, 30 minutes is quite a long time to be on one topic. Now, speaking of, when we're talking about dates versus cold approach, there is an exception. I want to be very clear here. There is an exception. It is totally okay. I'm allowing you to go into interview mode on an approach. This episode is geared a little bit more towards dates, less about doing approaches. You might hear from other gurus or whoever else, yeah, don't get into interview mode on an approach. You don't want to be going question, question, question. No, that doesn't matter, because that is just what an approach is. An approach is going to be you asking questions, and unless she's super interested, maybe she'll ask some questions back. Maybe the conversation goes past 5 minutes. Now you're in like a 5 to 10 to 15 to maybe even 20 minute conversation. There is where it can apply, where you're avoiding the interview mode and you can use some of the stuff I said. But in that first 5 minutes, don't worry if it's interview mode. You just have to do it smoothly. So yeah, it's okay if you're asking her where she's from and what does she do and what does she like to do for fun? What is she up to today? It's totally okay to do that. I'm allowing you to do it. It works. I've done it. Our clients at TripAdvice have done it. It works, okay? Here's the little detail I just want to give you. Try and extend it as much as you can. So what I mean is, I don't want you to be going, what do you do for work? Where do you live? What are you doing today? And it's just boom, 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 boom. And you're just letting her give one word answers. Try to comment and do some commentary and some statements, or maybe a couple more questions based on how she answers the first question. So if you go up to her and you say, hey, 2 seconds, I wanted to come over and meet you. You know, where are you from? Or you say, are you from here? And she goes, oh, I'm actually from Miami. Oh, cool, Miami. Oh, I went there last year. It's awesome there. I love it. I went there on a business trip. It's so fun. I stayed in Brickell, and it was great. Although next time I go, I actually want to stay in South Beach because it's a lot cooler. I don't know. I just came up with that on the spot. All that is true. But I just came up with that on the spot. That's a way where you can say something and then she can grasp on. She can go, oh, you stayed in Brickell? Oh, yeah, of course. That's terrible. You shouldn't have stayed there. Or, oh yeah, wow, Miami. I actually haven't been there since I was, you know, really little. So I don't really know. I haven't been there in a while, or she's going back or whatever. It offers her a little bit of juice to grab on and keep talking, but it's an approach. So you never know. She might not grab onto that. So she might just stay silent and say like, oh, cool. And then you can go to the next question. You can say anything you want. Like, when are you going to Miami next? Or you can ask her, what do you do for work? Something like that. And then she answers again. And then you can listen. And then you can try to make statements and then continue from there. So what we're really trying to do here is just do our best to avoid interviewing her with statements. You're going to do this the best you can on an approach. You're going to work a lot harder on it when you're on a date, and then get to the point where you're just having a more fruitful conversation that's going to be more interesting, and she's going to get to know you. And that's good, because when you ask too many questions, she might not get to know you because you're putting her in this hot seat where she's doing all the work. So we do want to avoid that to some degree. Don't forget, if you need help with this, you can always go to tripadvicecoaching.com and you can book a time to talk to my team, and we can chat with you to see if we can help you with this, with being able to be a master conversationalist and to be able to really get to the point where it's easy for you to talk to women on dates. Or if you're doing approaches, you know, we have boot camps where we can teach you and train you to do in-person approaches, and we're working with you in person. We have ladies on staff who's going to do a mock date with you to make sure that you're really good at the dates that you're on, so you can get actual practice and they work like a charm to give you the feedback that you need. If you need help, go to tripadvicecoaching.com. That link is in the show notes. Now, I want to answer some questions. We've had a bunch of podcast questions come in today, and we're going to dive in right now. This one is from Ryan. Hey, Trip, how do I stop kicking myself when I don't cold approach a girl that I really want to talk with? I listen to all your cold approach episodes, and they're awesome. But when I fail, he put in quotes, by not even trying, I go home and get really angry at myself. Am I putting too much pressure on doing it? Also, how do I stop idolizing hot girls? I get scared of cold approaching because hot girls make me nervous. How do I stop doing that, Ryan? Okay, cool, Ryan. I've covered this topic quite a bit here on the podcast, but I do want to cover it again because I know that this is a question that comes up quite often. I know that not every single person has listened to every single episode. So, Ryan, first of all, look to what's happening and how you're feeling right now. You go home and you, quote, get really angry at myself. So that is one of the ways that I would actually motivate yourself to go and do it. Is it going to feel worse to go out and get rejected, even if it's from a really hot girl? Or is it going to feel worse to go home and be like, damn it, I should have done it? Which is going to feel a lot worse for you? I would imagine it's going to be a lot worse for you to go home and feel angry about it. Now, this is me attempting to use logic here, and I know that sometimes logic just doesn't really help. It does not really help in terms of getting someone over the edge. Sometimes people have to go through moments of feeling really anxious, and things are really going to be tough, and it's not going to be perfect, and you're just going to have to break the seal. You are going to have to, as they say, rip the Band-Aid off, Ryan. So yeah, you are putting too much pressure on it, because for the first 50 to 100 approaches that any man does, you should not expect anything to happen. You should expect every approach to be another stepping stone to get better for the next approach. The reason why you are approaching, whether it's a girl who's attractive or not attractive, but especially the ones that are, that you find attractive, you're doing this so you can continue to get better at approaching, not so you can get her number or avoid rejection. So I guarantee you're putting too much pressure on it. You're trying to avoid rejection. You're sitting here getting super nervous because she's really cute and you don't want to embarrass yourself or say something dumb, and you think it's going to feel really shitty. But guess what? Back to what I was saying earlier, it's going to feel a lot shitty if you don't do it, as you've already been experiencing. My point is you need to be just going out and doing little baby approaches. I'm all about the baby steps, about making this simple for yourself and just going up to them and asking them anything. Ask them where there's a cool restaurant around here. Say, okay, I don't really condone lying. I'm not a guy who is going to say lie to a girl. But you know what? In this case, fucking lie. Who cares? Like, go up to a girl and just say, hey, I'm new in town. I'm new in town. Where's the best place to get a cheeseburger? Maybe that's a little bit easier for you. Like, who cares? Like, you know, it's not like this is a girl that you're going to end up seeing again anyway. So is this lie hurting anyone? No, if anything, it's helping you because it's just helping you get over the anxiety and the pressure of having to go and talk to women. So come up with anything you can, the easiest thing you can say, and just go up and do it. Even just go up to them and say hi and walk off. You know, I did that. Like, I can't even tell you how many times I would just go up to, I had the worst approach anxiety. I'd go up to a woman and say hi, and then I'd walk away. I went on for 3 hours my first night of approaching, and I didn't even say anything to anyone. And night two, I said hi to one woman and kept walking. That was a win for me because I was so nervous to do it. So your next question was, how do I stop idolizing hot girls? How do you stop doing that? Well, we've actually done a recent episode on this as well too, but I'll answer it very quickly because I do want to answer your question. Because I know a lot of you guys are doing that. You have to remember that these women are not just special because they're attractive. The only reason why you're idolizing her is because every bone in your body is feeling that sexual attraction and you want to be with her sexually, and that is why you are attracted to her. But you have to kind of snap yourself out of that, so to speak. Snap yourself out of this idea that that is the only thing that is so important about this woman just because she's attractive. I don't know about you, but women don't get as attractive as you talk to them and they show a bad side of their personality. They tend to get a little bit uglier. So you're going over there not because you're trying to hit on her, but you're trying to find out who she is and if she's someone interesting and if she's interesting enough to you to be able to get a number. But that's a little bit further down the road. For now, you just got to be approaching anytime you can to just say anything to start getting used to it. So that's what you have to do, Ryan. Keep listening to the episodes, but I think that also the episodes aren't helping you as much. If you listen to all of them, but you're still coming here with a question, that means that you're not taking enough action or you're trying to. And I'll say this, Ryan, you might just be going out and you might not even listen to what I'm telling you here. This might be helpful, but it might not get you over the edge. So I'll just tell you your future. And don't worry, there's good news here. You're going to keep on doing this until the amount of anger starts to become so overwhelming that you're realizing that you just have to do it. And then you're going to break the seal. You're going to get embarrassed. It's going to feel very anxiety ridden. It's going to be really tough. But I guarantee the more you just put yourself outside and trying to do it, eventually you're just going to win. And it might take a lot of quote failures to be able to get to that point. So hope that helps. Let's go to Max. He says, hey, Trip, thanks for your great work. Your podcast is really interesting. I've got a question for you. How can I suggest to women that I'm here to have fun, not for relationships? I'm 42, and after long relationships, I just want to have fun. But it seems that the women that I approach and talk to of all ages see me as date material, unlike guys that I know that go to the bar and take the girls home. I guess it's all in the vibe, the words and the tension, but would love to have your take on this. Thanks for your advice. Best, Max. Okay, here's the realistic thing. Is you might, this is something that you have a little bit of control over, and some parts you just don't. You might not look the part. A lot of this is going to have to do with looks. Like a guy who is, you know, very tall and muscular and has that kind of bad boy chiseled look, he is going to have an easier time being this guy who's having fun relationships. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's out of your control to that degree. Like, for example, I'm a guy who does not look like the person I just described. So it was definitely a harder journey for me to want to do that. But I was able to do it. I got to the point where I was able to have fun relationships instead of serious ones. And really, one of the biggest steps is going to be dressing the part. You do have to have some sort of style to you. It's really easy for any guy to just put on the wrong clothes and you just look like a nice guy. You just look like a guy who they want to just take you home to their parents. So having some sort of style, and it doesn't have to be like a bad boy where you're wearing a lot of leather jackets or things like that. Although, you know what, to be honest with you, that might help. But yeah, some sort of style. You can even go into like Pinterest and type in like bad boy styles or alpha male styles, something like that, and start dressing that part. And finding clothes that you enjoy, by the way. I'm not telling you to play dress up like it's Halloween, like you're going to put on some bad boy clothes and then go out and talk to girls and you're like, what the hell am I doing? Obviously, find the clothes that you find would look good on you, that you enjoy. Okay. Now that's part of it, as you do have to have a little bit of that look. And then, yeah, you basically said it. It is all the vibe. It's the words. It's the tension. It's going to be a lot more where you're teasing them, a lot less of trying to get to know them. You're not going to take them on super romantic dates. I wouldn't be taking them out to nice restaurants. You know, if anything, you're going to take them out to just a bar to have a drink, or you're going to do something more casual and fun. Like maybe you're doing some sort of activity. You're going to try to invite them over to your place a lot sooner. You're not going to, you know, tell her, I'm sure you're not doing this, but just so everyone knows, you're not going to be saying that you're looking for something serious or looking for a relationship. And if she asks you, you're going to be honest with her and say, you know, I'm just kind of having fun right now. And if something comes along one day, something comes along. So it's a lot of the way that you're dressing and the way that you look and the way that you're presenting how this relationship is going to be. So yeah, and by the way, here's the deal, Max, and everyone else listening. A lot of women, it's plain and simple, they want relationships. I would almost argue and say 100% of women want relationships at any given time. Yep, that is my belief. That is what I have seen. That's just how it goes. Okay, so with that being said, it might be a little bit of a numbers game. You're going to have women out there that are just not going to be interested in this, whether it's you or anyone else. So it is going to be some volume to go through and find the ones that are going to be interested in having those casual relationships. Then you're going to treat it like a casual relationship, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, and you're going to dress the part of that guy, and you're going to be a little bit more of a mystery, not explaining every single thing about yourself and letting her talk a little bit more, teasing her a lot, things like that. That is going to help. This is a great question. It's a little bit harder to answer because there's a lot of different things that we can work on with you, and we can work on in trial and error to see what's going on, because I don't know what it is that you're doing. This is one where I would recommend that you get coaching with us, because then we can actually listen in on your approaches. We can see what's going on. We can help you with style and dressing, like all these things. Like, I don't know what you're doing, and you clearly don't know either. So it's good to like see you in action and see what's going on. So I would recommend that for you, Max, but I hope that this, you know, little bit of advice helps you. All right, here's a longer one from Wes. Hey, Trip, longtime listener here. I am subscribed to your podcast and YouTube videos and love all your advice. Thanks, man. I've got a question for you that you haven't covered yet, to my knowledge, and some other guys might be in the same boat. I am a full-time dad with a 10-year-old that keeps me busy. Recently, I've had a pay decrease due to a court order being enforced, and I find myself barely keeping my household afloat some weeks. I used to budget extra money to go towards taking the ladies out on dates. By the way, with your advice and my own natural charm and good looks, no issues there. I learn new things from you all the time. However, the dating budget is the first to get cut when things get tight. I guess what I'm asking is, how do I date now that I can't afford to wine and dine her? I'm used to taking these lovely ladies out wherever I wanted and not worrying about the cost. I would also hire a babysitter during the week if I wanted to see a girl more often than every other weekend. Now I can't afford that either. Should I call it quits, get off all the dating apps, conduct zero approaches, and wait until my situation changes? What woman wants a broke-ass single dad? I have been called the full package by past relationships, but this has been a huge blow to my dating ego. Please help. P.S. I live in a city that doesn't offer a lot of free things to do inside. However, we have lots of parks and whatnot, and the partner I'm searching for will have to enjoy nature because it's kind of my thing. But offering to go on a hike in the middle of the week probably isn't going to get a lot of bites. You're the master at this. Teach me, Obi-Wan. Thanks so much and keep up the good work. Thanks, Wes. Thank you so much. All right. First of all, major priority, if you don't already know, is going to be to work on your finances. So whatever you need to do to get that going. However, what are we going to do in the meantime? Don't stop approaching. don't stop dating. First, oh God, there's so much to answer here. I'm trying to think where to start. Okay. Don't stop doing what you're doing. If you are the full package, you will be surprised how many women will actually stick around even if you're not doing a lot of whining and dining. Hard, full stop, right there. Okay, there's that. Then, right now, you're just assuming that you need to whine and dine. That's not the way. And if you're a longtime listener, you know I've never had any episodes about whining and dining. So why not try some other things that are not whining and dining? Why can't you go get a single drink somewhere? I mean, I don't know if that's too, I don't know what your budget is, so I'm not really sure where it's at. Like, are you not able to spend even $1? Does it completely go out the window? If so, get a cup of coffee. That's probably about $10 or less to go out with a girl and get coffee. Now, people might say, well, you don't want to go on a coffee date. Well, if that's the only thing that you can do, just do that. Why not? Why not? I just don't see what the problem is. If there's a woman, you're trying to save your ego here. You don't want to get rejected. You're having a lot of assumptions. Just go through this process, do the cheapest things possible, and just see what happens. Otherwise, you obviously have to be working. And here's the other thing, though. But if that's going to take, if all of that is going to take away time from you spending time trying to make more money, then don't do that. I don't want anything to be cut into your time to continue to make more money. So maybe this is not a priority at all, and there are things that you can do. But if you are a person who says, well, okay, I am doing those things already. There's things in place. I still have some time where I can do some approaches. I can go on a date here and there. Then great. Then just go and do it and see what happens. You're just assuming and making all these judgment calls based on what's going on. I mean, you said, what woman wants a broke-ass single dad? I mean, no, I wouldn't go up to a woman and say, or how many women I should say, do you go up to and ask, excuse me, would you like a broke-ass single dad? Yeah, they're all going to say no, but that's based on logic. Attraction and meeting women and how that process works is emotion. It's irrational responses. It's not rational. You just find someone attractive. This is why some people tend to get into bad relationships with people because they're just attracted to them and they probably shouldn't, but emotions are very strong. So if you go out to a coffee with a woman and she really likes you and you're using my TED formula, tension, entertainment, dominance, and she's totally digging it, and then maybe the next week you guys go get a drink, or I don't know how expensive is it. I mean, these days I know things are going up in price, but how expensive is it to go like bowling or to grab a light bite somewhere? Maybe instead of putting zero dating, you just do a little bit and you take it down to like 20% instead of going the full 100%. So see what happens there. And then if you tell me after this advice, I am completely broke. I cannot afford a dollar. Well, we know where we need to spend our time to get to the point where you can have a dating budget again. So I'm sorry about the pay decrease. That sucks. I hope that that helps. That is my advice to you, Wes. Let's go to Johnny. Hi, Trip. Thank you for the podcast. I find it very helpful and interesting, and I've been following you since 1 year now already. Question for you. You go on a first date with a girl from Tinder. Everything goes well. You even kiss, walk her home, and both say you're looking forward to seeing each other again. You text the next day. You can notice it's another vibe. Late replies, short ones, even ignoring you maybe. Of course, the texts are questions about when we should meet again. What should I do in this case? What would you suggest? Thanks again for your answer and content. All the best, Johnny. Okay, Johnny, what can you do? This is why there's volume. Actually, I want to bring two principles in this. One, volume. I always talk about that. If you're asking her out again and she's not responding, then she's just not interested. And I know what you're saying. That doesn't make any sense. She acted interested. There was a kiss. We walked home. There was the exchange of, I look forward to seeing you again. Well, that's because attraction is an emotional reaction, and women can be in the moment and it's awesome in that one moment. And then the next day, all of a sudden, she's in a different emotion because now she's in the next day where she didn't have a drink in her and she is at work and she's busy, or maybe that ex-boyfriend that she didn't want to be with texted her again, and who knows? But it's not going to necessarily be like a girl. Like, guys are a little bit, they think a little bit more on the logical side. A woman might not be the next day going, you know, all these things happened last night. We kissed. I said I look forward to seeing him again. It was a great time. I'm going to see him on a date. It just doesn't always work that way. And it's funny because as I say this, I can hear guys getting really upset. Where it's like, wow, can women be that much more confusing than they already are? Wow, does this process ever get any easier? I just wouldn't think about things that way. You just got to understand that dating, like anything else, is one of those things that it's a little bit challenging. And it's not going to be super easy. And you're going to get responses that you don't like. And it's going to be a little bit tough. And it's going to be like, what the hell? That was a great date. And now she's just ghosting me? What's going on? I would remember that women definitely are more emotional, and they have a lot of, there's a lot of competition, so other guys who are going after them. And that is why you need to have a lot of volume. And that's why I'm always bringing that case to you that, okay, we need to have then more dates and we need to be less outcome dependent, at least in the very beginning. It's not easy, guys, but you do have to take the emotion out of it. You do have to take the emotion out of it because you might like a girl and it might just not work out after the first couple of dates. Hell, I know guys who start falling in love with a woman and they haven't even had a date yet. They just look at their dating profile. They go, wow, she's pretty. She's got this and this. And wow, we're so alike because she likes this and I like this. And how are we, she's got to swipe yes on me. Wow, this has to happen. And then of course it might not happen. And you've wasted all these emotions. You've dumped all these emotions into this woman that you barely know. And I'm not saying, Johnny, that you're doing that. And I know I'm going a lot deeper than you're really asking. You just asked me like, what should I do in this case? What would you suggest? So what do I suggest here is that you just move on if she's not interested in seeing you again. You're texting her if she wants to meet up. Just wait, no response. That's why we have volume. Volume, volume, volume. All right, let's do one more. Hi, Trip. I've been very unhappily married for a long time and was staying for my daughter. However, I've been regularly listening to your podcast for at least 5 years. After 18 years of marriage, I've been back on the dating scene for 4 weeks and trying to apply what I've learned from you. I've had good results on the apps, which is encouraging. Hinge is the best by far. I've had 2 dates. The dates have been fun and we've had no trouble keeping conversation going, and I've tried making touch a natural part of the interaction. My problem is that even though things are going well and the opportunity is there, I cannot bring myself to go for the kiss. Last night we were having drinks on a couch at a romantic bar and just couldn't. After the date, I beat myself up for all the missed opportunities to make the move. I haven't dated in 24 years. Any advice for getting over this mental block? Also, it seems like the Hinge and Bumble girls want something serious, and I just want a date to gain experience. I'm honest with them about my situation. Is it okay to still go on dates with those that have long-term relationship as their goal? I'd appreciate if you kept this anonymous if you respond on the podcast. Thank you for all the amazing content. Great question. Okay. There's a lot here. So any advice on getting over the mental block? It's very similar to what I said earlier for another question. Eventually, you're just going to get to the point, and I had to go through this too because there is a mental block for sure about trying to, you know, get over that nervousness of breaking the seal and going for the kiss. You're just going to get to the point where it's going to get so frustrating that eventually you're going to start going for it. Also, you know, at the end of the day, although I'm not sure if this is going to apply to you based on what you said after this, but for anyone else listening, if you don't go for the kiss on the first date, it's not the end of the world. I do encourage you to do it. I want you to do it. It's not the end of the world. You could totally still do it on the second date, but do not ever, ever, ever wait longer than the second date. If you are a man who's interested in seeking a physical connection with a woman, and I don't mean just physical, but physical, well, maybe just physical or physical plus more, you still need to be going for the kiss by the second date. And so the mental block is just going to be remembering that, first of all, nothing bad is going to happen. She's going to be interested or she's not. And isn't it going to be better to do it now than kick yourself later for not even trying? Also, you are a person who's not looking for a long-term relationship. So more so for you, you have to do this. So you have to remind yourself, and you're going to just have to take the baby steps to just try to break the seal and make it happen. That's all I can say. I don't know. There's not like a magic bullet here. I wish there was. I wish there was some magic technique, but the person who's going to just get this the best is just going to create a silence. So there's not a lot of speaking. You can even say like, hey, come here, and then go for the kiss. Boom. That's it. You just got to get over that hump, man, or else you're going to be so frustrated and nothing's going to happen for you. So think about it that way. Now, your next question was, is it still okay to go on dates with those that have long-term relationship as their goal? You know what? I would say yes. Polarizing advice. A lot of people would probably say that's unethical. That's wrong. Why would you do that? Because just because someone puts that on there, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's all they're looking for. Because like I said, every woman wants a long-term relationship, but that doesn't mean that there are some women out there who just want to date and have a good time. So as long as you're upfront, which it says you are, you said, I'm honest with them about my situation. So if you are and they're still interested in getting together with you, then great. Just do that. That's fine. It's not the end of the world. Just know, though, after that first date, if they're telling you, yeah, I'm only looking for a serious relationship, that's it, that's it, that's it, and you're like whining and dining them and trying to go on these like romantic dates and all this stuff, that's not going to work for you. It's just not going to work because they're not going to want to do that. So you do have to a little bit act as if. If you're looking for fun and casual, you need to treat it more casual, especially after that first date. And by God, do not do any dinner dates for the first date, especially if you're just looking for casual. So, anonymous, I hope that helps. You want your question answered? Write in to me, trip@tripadvice.com. Put in the subject line podcast question. We're getting through them. It's great answering them and helping you out. If you need more help, you know where to go. There's links in the show notes to get your free call. And I wish you all a great rest of your day.